Hey, I'm Jack Paul.
Yo, 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 it's your boy Travis J.
It's Darren Isaacs.
Hey, this is DJ Hannibal in the mix.
Hey, Soul Nation, this is IFBB Pro, Neil Hamilton.
This is Kadar Clark.
Hey, what's up, you guys? This is your boy Nate from Nate Bates.
What's up, beautiful people? It's your boy Stack.
Family, how you doing? It's your boy Todd Marshall, your next generation leader and your musical entrepreneur.
This is Addis Hyland, founder of the Bahamian Icon Awards, and you're listening to
It's Your Time to Soar.
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 You're tuned into It's Your Time to Soar.
It's your time to soar.
It's your time to soar.
With my brother, Felici Ranger.
Hello and welcome to It's Your Time to Soar. If this is your first time tuning in, know that we inspire, motivate, and impact. Welcome back, Soar Nation. I have an awesome interview for you all today. I have a gentleman by the name of Addis Hyland. He is an entrepreneur. He is an all-around good guy. But I'm gonna let him tell us just a brief story about himself.
I need to add that to my resume. All-around good guy. You gotta get me some jobs and some contracts. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited in this place. I'm so excited to be here and to chat with you. I know that we've kind of known each other for a long time, but we haven't really had a chance to sit down and really talk. So I'm excited about today.
Definitely. So, you know, for all of our listening audience who doesn't know who Addis Hyland is, can you give them just a brief or like how they say, give them a origin story?
Okay. So it all started in 1977. No. it's always just so difficult talking about yourself, isn't it? Because who wants to walk around, you know, spewing their resume all day? But
exactly.
But my life has been very, I think, interesting from my perspective. I ran track for 16 years. I was a professional track athlete. Got my degree from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill in marketing and communications.
Right.
And worked in Atlanta for several years, just kind of honing my craft and honing my skills in communications and in public relations and marketing.
Right.
I got an opportunity to move home in 2010, and that's when I started Cita Communications Group, which is a full-service marketing consultancy, specifically more so with graphic design and printing.
Right.
And in 2013, we started the Bahamian Icon Awards, which is an amazing platform that we've created to recognize outstanding Bahamians in various industries. And so I think that the interesting thing about my life is that it's been so very multifaceted. I have so many different things that I'm curious about, that I'm interested about, interested in. And luckily, I've had the opportunity to explore a whole lot of them. So I'm very lucky.
All right. Awesome. So when you say you got an opportunity to move home, how did that opportunity come about?
Oh, it wasn't an opportunity more so. The bottom fell out of the housing market in 2008, and the economy wasn't doing well, and my boss died.
Wow.
Yeah, and so it, you know, and also I was 31, 32, 33 at the time.
Right.
And was at that place in my life where I was really trying to figure out, okay, what is it that you're doing?
Right.
You know, and life has to be about more than just going to work, punching a clock, and, you know, executing certain tasks, and then going home, going out on the weekend. There has to be more meaning to life than that.
Yeah.
And so that's where it started for me, just kind of searching for that deeper meaning in my work, in my life, in what I do, what I choose to spend my time, you know, devote my time to.
Right.
Just trying to find a way to be of use in a very real and tangible way. And so I decided to move home, you know, for many reasons. I was excited about being close to my family again. I had been gone for 16 years.
Yes.
I was excited about the opportunity to come home and share everything that I had learned working in Atlanta and in the communications industry in Atlanta for so long. And then I was excited just about the whole plethora of opportunities that were available with me knowing what I knew and coming into a new space like the Bahamas.
Exactly.
Where, you know, I think it could be considered a big fish in a small pond.
Right.
And so I think the results is what you've seen over the last 9 years. Us being very consistent with delivering quality work and outstanding service, being true to our brand. And just being able to produce really, really, really good work.
All right, awesome. It's awesome. So I remember seeing a video interview last week or so, because I was just doing some little like research and I came across a video, right? And I heard you mention on the video that when you came back home and you saw the market, you said that you wanted to bring something that the other business owners who were doing something similar to what you do, they were missing some pieces.
Yeah. Well, the foundational product that I created when I decided to move home is called the Original Memory Book.
Right.
What it is a really fancy funeral program.
Right. Right.
We were able, in 2007, my stepfather died, and I got the opportunity to do his book. And it was because I didn't want to do something that was just random and arbitrary and kind of utilitarian. But I wanted to create a publication that had meaning and that spoke to the life that he lived as opposed to commemorating his death.
Yes.
And so that's what it was for me coming home. It
right.
was understanding that I am very, very, very good at telling stories.
Right.
And that's what putting together an obituary is. That's what putting together a booklet for an event is.
Yes.
That's what creating a logo is. It's all about telling stories in creative and interesting ways.
Right.
What we were able to do with the memory book is to be able to tell those stories mm-hmm. and also be able to produce a superior product at a competitive price.
Right.
And so that's why it became so successful. And now you see, for instance, in 2010, when I first came home, we were the only ones doing memory books.
Mm.
Now, when you look at the industry,
right.
everybody's work has some influence on what we created
wow.
9 years ago.
Wow.
That makes me feel really good.
Awesome. So in other words, you were a trailblazer.
Well, I think Martin Luther King was a trailblazer. You know, I think Barack Obama was a trailblazer. I just
right.
create funeral programs.
Right.
So I don't know that I would go that far, but certainly I knew that I had something different to offer than what was here at the time.
Right.
The fact that something has resonated with persons in a way to make them want to do things differently and better
right.
is only a positive for me.
Oh, wow.
And because at the end, who wins in the scenario? It's the families that we
right.
service. It's the persons that have lost loved ones.
Yeah.
It's the ones who, like me,
right.
will look at those memory books and reflect on them with happy thoughts
right.
as opposed to just a sad book that
right.
was used at a funeral.
Right.
But it really celebrates that person's life. And so the families are the ones that benefit. I'm happy that our work has caused the entire funeral program industry to elevate itself and,
wow.
and step up its game, because it was easy to do.
Right.
You know, it was just a matter of someone showing you how you can do this better and differently.
Right.
And luckily, that's what we were able to do.
Oh, that's awesome. So, if we could just backtrack a minute, right? Can you tell our listening audience at which point in your life rediscover? Rediscovered your value, because you have a lot of persons.
I think I'm still trying to discover my value. You know, isn't that interesting?
Right.
You know, I think that's last year. I had an opportunity to give the commencement address at St. John's College.
Nice.
And you know, 2018 was a very rough year for me. It was a very introspective year for me.
Right.
And so here I was preparing this speech. And it was a typical kind of, you know, blue skies and endless opportunities and seize the day type graduation speech.
Right.
And I just didn't feel like it was real. I didn't
right.
feel like it was honest. I felt like it was a facade.
Right.
That's a speech that everybody gives and no one remembers it, because it's the same kind of cursory thing.
Right.
I wanted to give these students something that was real, something that they could hold on to and hopefully
right.
take with them and help them to make better decisions as they go through this thing called life.
Right.
And so I wrote the speech at 10 o'clock at night.
Right.
The night before, and delivered it the next day, and people are still talking about it.
Wow, that's awesome.
And hopefully those kids are impacted. So I say all that to say, you talk about at what point did I rediscover my value or find my value?
Right.
The honest answer is that that's still a constant process of discovery.
Right.
It's still a constant process of reinforcement and validation,
yeah.
and kind of tooting your own horn and understanding who you are, what you bring to the table.
Right.
That's not always easy.
Right.
You know, on days like today, when I've had an impossible day at work,
right.
you kind of wonder if you are really good at what you're doing.
Right.
And so it's a constant process for me. And I think that what's important is opportunities like this.
Yes.
You wanting to speak to me lets me know that you think that perhaps I have something of value to say.
Yes.
So that in and of itself is validation.
Right.
And you look for those types of opportunities every day,
right.
you know, for persons to say, you know what, you're doing a good job. Keep it up. And as a shameless segue, that's what we do at the Bahamian Icon Awards every year on a macro level. We provide a platform to do what is the most important thing that I think we can do for a human being, and
right.
that's validate the truth of who they are.
Right.
You know, it says, I see you.
Right.
I see your value. I see your work. I recognize it and it has value to me as well. That's what we do. And I think that there's nothing more important that you could do for a human being. So I think what's important in that journey is understanding that it's not necessarily a destination. It's not some place that you get to and then all of a
right.
sudden you've arrived.
Right.
It's a constant evolution. It's a constant process of defining and redefining who you are and how you are and what you are in the world. And that's what I try to do, to just try to stay on that path to eventually reaching the fullest expression of who I was created to be. You know,
right.
so.
Yeah. So what actually nudged you? What was something that you've seen in the Bahamian culture that I would say forced you to say, you know what, we need to create something where we can recognize our own, even if it's from the janitress up to the CEO.
It wasn't anything in the community.
Right.
It was me. I wanted to win an award. I wanted to win a Cacique Award because
right.
at the time in 2012, that was the only award show around.
Right.
And so I had been here for 2 years and had done really well with my company, Citta Communications Group. And I heard about the Cacique Awards and I
right.
thought, wow, it'd be really cool.
Right.
It'd be really, really cool to be nominated, to be validated, for someone to say, you know what, we see what you've been doing for the last 2 years and you're doing a great job.
Right.
I was seeking that same validation.
Right.
At the time, that opportunity wasn't available to me because I wasn't working in tourism.
Right.
And so when you come to that realization, you also realize that there's so many other persons.
Right.
Yourself. You know, so many people that we interact with on a daily basis. So many
right.
people are working here in this establishment
right.
that pour their hearts and souls into their work every day the same way I do.
Right.
And there's no opportunity in 2013 for us to say you're doing a great job.
Right.
And so that's why it made sense. It wasn't anything necessarily in the community. It very much came from the cues that I was taking from my own life.
Right.
Just like I said earlier with the memory book. The memory book didn't come about because I wanted to create a fancy funeral program. It came about because I was in a position where I had to create a book for a loved one as well. The same position that all of our clients are in when they sit across the desk from me.
Right.
I think what's important is just taking cues from your own life.
Right.
Finding out and being very tuned into what's important to you. What fires you. What gets you going in the morning. What it is that you need to feel full of
right.
yourself.
Mm.
That's what's important. You pay attention to that, and then you'll
right.
figure out how you can then impact the world.
Right.
You know, on a much larger level.
Wow. So you have a lot of persons who, in, let's just say in a casual conversation, they end up discussing with friends and family their dreams and aspirations, but they never seem to break through. How were you able to start CEDA and then say, you know what, I want to start to recognize my behemoth? How do you break through from dream to bring all of this to fruition? How did you do it?
Big balls. I have big balls. I have never been afraid to tackle an opportunity.
Wow.
And I think that comes from the way my mother raised me. I was just talking to, who was it? To my cousin yesterday, who was also
yeah.
raising a phenomenal son, Rihanno Todd.
Right.
And he reminds me a lot of me when I was a child. And yesterday, his mom, Zavi, and I were talking.
Right.
And we talked about parenting young, intelligent, and potential kids with great potential.
Right.
We talked about the need to instill in them the core values.
Right.
You know, your integrity as a man, your honesty,
right.
How you relate and how you care for others, how you set goals. All of those fundamentals is what you're responsible for as a parent.
Yes.
When you have a kid like I was, or like Riano is,
right.
You simply make sure that they have the fundamentals and you give them the space to find their own way.
Yes.
That's what my mother did for me. And so when I was 14 years old and I came to her one day and I said, hey, I just ran these races at House Sports and I won and they want me to join a track team,
right.
And start running track. She didn't say, boy, stop wasting your time. She just said, okay.
Go ahead.
What do we have to do? Where do we have to go?
Right.
If it was piano lessons, I told her one day, the next day I was in piano lessons.
Right.
Every single curiosity that I had,
right.
She always empowered me to be able to go after it and figure it out for myself.
Right.
And so that's really what's followed me into my adulthood. I don't necessarily see obstacles as obstacles.
Right.
Today is a perfect example.
Right.
You just keep trying to figure out a way to make it work. As long as you're working, there's always a way to get it done.
Right.
What I think a lot of people, where I think a lot of people go wrong is when it gets tough, they think it's impossible.
Right.
That's not necessarily the case. Nothing that comes easy is going to be easy. Nothing that's worth it is going to come easy. Nothing that's impactful. Nothing that is important is going
right.
to be simple. You know, it's lots of moving parts and there's lots of different things that you have to take into consideration and there's going to be challenges and hurdles. But you have to be confident enough to know that whatever comes, your balls are big enough to handle it.
Right.
That's why I do what I do.
Wow. So, like, as it pertains to resources,
mm-hmm.
it seems as though you had to add some amazing resources.
None. I remember sitting down the first year of the Icon Awards, and we were inching closer and closer towards the show, and we had no money. Tickets went on sale, tickets weren't moving. We didn't have a whole lot of sponsors because it was our first year, and we had this idea for a show,
right.
And no idea how we were going to pull it off.
Right.
And I remember Valentino Bethel at the time, we were in a meeting, he was on the committee. And he was like, well, maybe we should just pull back for the first year and just have like a smaller luncheon, you know, and then try again next year when we have more money. And I was like, hell no. I was like, if we're going to set a brand the way we want to with the
right.
ideas that we have to kick the door down from the break. It has to be big. It has to be the best show that we've ever seen.
Right.
And we have to figure it out.
Right.
And we figured it out. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
It's just about understanding that, okay, there is no going back. There is no plan B. This is it.
Right.
This is do or die.
Right.
And I already know what giving up feels like. You know, I already know what that feels. I want to see what happens if I don't.
Right.
You know, what happens if I keep going? What happens
right.
if I keep pushing? What happens
right.
if I do go ahead and plan that next show? Or I do go ahead and expand this company or whatever. You know, I want to see how far that goes.
Right.
Because I know that as long as I stay focused to what it is that I'm doing, as
mm-hmm.
long as I stay true to myself,
right.
and as long as I believe in what it is that I'm doing, that there's nothing that's impossible.
Right.
And so I'm really, really, really excited about that, you
yes.
know?
Yeah. Because something that you said earlier, you know, and a lot of persons they have a lot of fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always say in a few of my episodes that fear is just basically false evidence appearing real. I know once you realize right, and you made an awesome point when you said, you know, you don't have any resources, but it was all about what you had in your hand. What's in your hand? What do you have?
Use what
in
you
your
have.
Disposal.
Start where you are. Use what you have. Do what you can.
Right.
Arthur Ashe said that. It's become one of my favorite quotes. Start where you are. Use what you have. Do what you can. You
right.
look at events, for instance, like the Bahamian Icon Awards, or like starting a business.
Right.
And it seems like such a humongous task, but you don't have to take on everything at one time. What do you have? Right now, I have these pair of glasses. I have this cup of coffee. I have this phone. I have these keys. Right. This is what I have. How can I make magic out of this?
Exactly.
You know, I don't have a whole coffee shop.
No.
I don't have a fleet of cars.
No.
I don't own BTC.
No.
But this is what I have.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And so other than that, you know, I think it was a Will Smith movie about him and his son being in outer space, Earth.
After Earth. Right.
When he said, fear isn't real.
Right.
Fear is a construct that we come up with when we don't have all the answers.
Right.
Danger is real, but fear is just a figment of our imagination.
Right.
And so you think about that and you understand that it doesn't matter if you're afraid. What courage is doing it anyway.
Anyway.
And I'm a courageous dude.
Yeah.
I got courage for days.
Man.
And so that's what it is. You talk about what it takes to be successful. It's not about having the money. It's not about having all the resources or having an influential family. It's not about even having a college degree or the perfect support system at home. It's about who you are fundamentally as a human being. What kind of man are you? What kind of mindset do you have?
Right.
What fires your spirit?
Right.
What is it that gets you going and that gets you up in the morning to want to be the best that you can be? That's where the focus needs to be. Once that happens, once you have that foundation, then you can do anything.
Yeah.
You can do anything because you're not afraid.
No.
You're not afraid. You're focused, you're determined, and you're equipped.
Right.
But you're not afraid.
Yeah.
And even if you are afraid, you're confident enough to do it anyway.
Yeah. I'll tell you right now what happens to a lot of persons. They value the opinions of others over the opinion of themselves.
That can make me weak right now.
Yeah.
Because I did that for a long time.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Yeah.
Felicity Ingram wrote an article a couple months ago. We did an interview that talked about childhood bullying.
Right.
And what a lot of people don't know is that I was bullied severely when I was a kid. I was tall. I was awkward looking. I was really skinny. I had big ears and big nose and big lips and I had bad acne.
Right.
And then I wasn't one of the cool kids.
Right.
You know the cool kids,
right.
The ones who have all the friends and everyone comes around them on lunchtime and
exactly.
You know, on the weekends they hang out, they probably drive cars on the weekends, you know the kids.
Right, right.
That wasn't me. I wasn't in that group.
No.
So I was the awkward, tall, gawky guy who was the butt of everybody's jokes.
Right.
And that was from primary school straight up to maybe 8th, 9th grade, you know, and it took a toll. I mean, it still does to this day, even now at 42 years old. I still sometimes struggle with my own self-identity and self-expression.
Right.
But what I think was important for me is, I'm sorry, I'm distracted.
Right.
My phone is going off the hook and it's Jason and the printer. Okay, great. Can you send me a pic? Okay, they got the file. Okay.
Yeah.
So they have the file and they're printing one. I told them to send me a picture so I could see.
All right, good.
I'm sorry, what was
good.
The question?
Yeah, you were talking about how for a long time you actually
seeing
struggled
ourselves
with it?
Through other people's eyes.
Right.
And so for a long time, even after the bullying stuff, when I started running track, I became cool.
Right.
I started running track in the 9th grade, and
right.
So I was Ireland sports champion, national champion, Carifta, the whole 9 yards. And so
wow.
I was a big deal
right.
on the track in high school, and that's what kind of gave me the credibility that I needed to not be bullied anymore.
Right.
But the scars still stayed.
They're still there.
You know, and I still struggled, even as my physical appearance began to develop, and I started to settle into my looks. And even when I crossed that threshold and people started looking at me differently.
Right.
It's like, oh, wow, you're kind of sexy.
Right.
Oh, you got abs. Oh, look at your smile. Oh,
right.
Wow. You know, and it took a long time for me to be able to receive that.
Right.
Because
right.
I was still so busy seeing myself through the eyes of all those kids that called
right.
me Dumbo because
right.
I had big ears.
Right.
Or soft boy because I wasn't like a thug.
Right.
You know, and it took a long time to get rid of that. And looking back on it, I think it was kind of sad.
Right.
You know, it was kind of sad. But yeah. Luckily, I have, over the years, been able to couple myself with some amazing individuals.
Right.
That do nothing but lift me up.
Right.
And that give me the confidence and the grace to do what I do.
Right.
And that's been an incredible blessing for me.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You know, just actually this morning, and in fact, I would say from last week, you know, I've been praying to God every day, and I've been asking Him to remove all those scars and to heal me, because all of us need to be whole. It's
you
so
know,
important.
It's so interesting you should say that, because that's what 2018 has been for me.
Yeah.
After the Icon Awards last year, I was so incredibly exhausted, mentally, physically, emotionally. I felt like I had given everything. Everything. Like, I had nothing left. I sat in the show that night, and I remember leaning over to my mother, and I said, I just feel like I'm just going to bust out crying any second now. Not because I was happy, or not because I was excited, but because I was just so exhausted and so overwhelmed. And I think those persons like you and like me that do what we do, we take
right.
so much time giving of ourselves
right.
to everything, to
right.
everybody, you know? Even if I'm not feeling good, you know, on a certain day, and I put on some sweats and some tennis shoes and I walk across the street to the grocery store,
right.
really in a bad mood. And someone walks up to me and they say, hey, aren't you that guy from the Rev commercial? Or
right.
aren't you that guy from the Behemoth Icon Awards? And they want
right.
to engage in a conversation.
Right.
And so even though it's not what I'm feeling at the time, I still
right.
muster up whatever positivity I have left
right.
to give to this stranger,
right.
to give to this person. And
right.
I did that for years without putting anything back.
Wow.
And so you get the 2018 Icon Awards, and I was just spent. I was spent. I haven't really done anything since the show in terms of going out to events or, you know, anything special. And I've just really been taking the time to focus on me. I'm packing
right.
all the stuff that we don't unpack,
right.
all the issues that we just kind of bury away because we don't
right.
have time to deal with it.
Exactly.
I have, I have this bad habit of, if I have a conflict with somebody, no matter who it is, family
right.
member, friends, whomever,
mm-hmm.
and it gets to be too difficult to handle, or
right.
it gets to be too distracting, I have a habit of totally divorcing myself from the situation and the person, no matter who it is, and I've done
right.
that with close family members.
Yes.
That doesn't necessarily solve the problem.
Right.
And so what ends up happening is you got this box
right.
that's sitting in the corner, that's taking up space
right.
in your life.
Yes.
And because there's a lid on it, you think that it's not affecting you.
Right.
But it's still there.
Right.
And at some point, you got to go in that corner and open that box and
right.
unpack that shit.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And
yeah.
actually deal with it in a real way.
Right.
Because what ends up happening is you pack up that box, and then something else happens, and there's another box, and
right.
another box, and another box.
Right.
And before you know it, your room is so crowded, you can't even turn around.
No.
Because you got all this stuff that you haven't dealt with.
Right.
You know, so yeah, it's very, very, very important to take care of yourself.
Right.
To make sure that you're whole. When you go on an airplane and they give you the safety briefing, they tell you if you're traveling with someone, you put on your oxygen mask
first
before you help the next person.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And so that's what it is for me at this point in my life, but about approaching 42,
right.
trying to understand and be very deliberate about who Addis is.
Right.
You know, for 9 years I've been in the Bahamas hustling, slinging funeral programs, creating and executing the Icon Awards for 6 years,
right.
giving.
Yeah.
And like you said earlier, it's very, very, very difficult in that kind of environment not to see yourself through other people's eyes.
Right.
And the reason is because everybody's seeing you in such a positive light.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Everyone's complimentary. Everyone's,
right.
you know, wanting to
right.
to know you or to talk to you. Or
right.
whatever. So it's like, oh yeah, I must be big shit, you know?
Yeah.
And so you begin to absorb that as
right.
opposed to looking at all the boxes
right.
that you have in the room and understanding that perhaps how they see you
right.
isn't necessarily the reality.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And so that's what it's been for me.
Yeah.
2018 has been unpacking.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's been my unpacking, my spring cleaning.
Oh yeah. Yeah, because I see you have an awesome profile picture, and I think the caption, I did the caption for that. I think you said this 2019 is the year for you.
Mm-hmm.
The year or about to celebrate you this year. So
yeah.
So without giving too much, can you give us just a little bit of what's that mean for you?
Nope, because it's just for me. And honestly, it's not even necessarily something that's tangible.
Right.
You know, it's not necessarily a project that I'm working on, anything right. like that. It's just putting Addis first.
Right.
You know, making sure that Addis is okay. Everybody, right. you know, Addis takes care of everything and everybody. But who's taking care of Addis?
Right.
And so that's what it is. It's not any particular project or I mean, of course, I have projects in the works. I have lots right. of things that I'm anxious to explore.
Yes.
But outside of that, it's right. very important to me to make sure that I'm okay.
Okay.
And there was a point in time in 2018 when I did not feel like I was okay. And so.
Right. All right. So, you actually said something powerful earlier about, because you know we started off this conversation talking about your value and when you saw yourself when you discovered that, you know, these are my strengths. All right, but if there was one thing that you were able to go back in time, and you were able to go back to your, I don't know, you were, how old were you then? Like 13, 14? How old were you then when the bullying was most severe for you?
10, 11, 12.
12?
Yeah, I was finishing up St. Vincent de Paul Catholic School in Freeport. So like, yeah, 7th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if there was one thing you were able to go back in time and tell your 12-year-old self one nugget, what would that nugget be?
You're enough.
Wow.
You're enough.
Yeah. I feel that. I really feel when you said that. That's powerful.
You're enough.
That's good. We can call this a wrap right now.
Yeah, it's you know, Feliz, it's so interesting, this thing called life, because
yes.
like I said, so many people how often do we take celebrities, for example?
Right.
We know nothing about their lives. All we know is what they put out there.
Right.
But we take whatever parts of them that we can make use of.
Right.
And we hold it. And
right.
we embrace it.
Right.
And it's not necessarily who they are as a person. It's who we've created or who we've envisioned them to be. It's how we perceive them.
Right.
And it becomes a very, very, very challenging process, always trying to live up to the expectation.
Yes.
Not always feeling like you have what it takes to live up to the expectation.
Yes.
I still feel that a lot of times today. And I certainly felt it back then.
Yes.
And so I think what's important for Addis at 12, 13, 14 to know, what's important for you to know, and what's important for me to know at 42,
right.
is that we have everything that we need.
Yes.
If God has already blessed us and
yes.
equipped us with every single thing that we need to get through this thing called life.
Yes.
There's nothing else that you need from
yes.
anyone or anywhere. All you need is everything that He's given you.
Yes.
That's enough. You don't have to be taller. You don't have to be sexier. You don't have to have clear skin. You don't have to have a buff body or $1 million in the bank. what you have, who you are, is enough.
Yes.
That's enough.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
I didn't know that then. I didn't feel that then.
No.
You know?
Totally understand.
And yeah, that's what I would tell them. You're enough.
Yeah.
And you'll be okay.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
You'll be okay.
Wow. I feel that. Wow, wow.
I'm open for the ugly cry.
Yeah, you know, if everyone was sitting there, I don't know if our listening audience can feel what we feel at this point in time, but it's definitely amazing. So, books. Do you have any favorite books? Can you tell our listening audience about three of your favorite books?
Three of my favorite books. Okay, I am a huge fan of Barack Obama, and not because he's Barack Obama,
right?
But because I am an absolute lover of language,
right?
And the way he languages his books is absolutely amazing. And I say that it's not just because he's Barack Obama, because right. I did not like The Audacity of Hope, but I love Dreams from My Father, which I think is a great insight to the foundation of who he is. A lot of what we talked about today,
yes,
in terms of going through that process of figuring out who you are and how you are and why you are,
right,
he explores in that book, Dreams from My Father.
Right.
Similarly, well, I'll come back to that one last. Another book that I just read last year, actually, is by Shonda Rhimes. It's called A Year of Yes. And I read it on vacation in the Dominican Republic. And it was very interesting because, of course, I don't have multi-million dollars and I don't have, you know, hit television shows on TV. But I found a lot of similarities in the way we approach life and we approach work.
Right.
And that whole idea of kind of isolating yourself into your own little creative cocoon,
right,
you know, and shutting everybody else out, because your life is about the work.
Yes.
You know, your life is about, her life is about creating movies. It's about, she calls it laying the tracks.
Right.
Which is how she describes the whole process of creating television shows. She's laying tracks, and as long as she keeps laying tracks, the train can keep moving.
Right.
So that's where her focus was. Similarly for me, my focus has always been my work, you know, just getting it done.
Right.
And in A Year of Yes, she explores the concept that she never accepts anything. Speaking engagements, you know, opportunities to impact others. She's just so focused in her little cocoon. And so she spent a year accepting everything. Yeah. Every opportunity, everything that made her afraid or apprehensive, she did it anyway.
Right.
And reading that book and going through that process with her really helped to illuminate a lot of the things in my life that was the same as hers. Mm-hmm. And so I've been able to kind of be impacted by that in that way. What I think is the most perhaps impactful book that I have ever read is The Measure of a Man by Sidney Poitier.
What's it again?
The Measure of a Man by Sidney Poitier.
Oh, awesome.
And the reason is because I've always known, obviously, Sidney Poitier. I think since we could walk, since we were Carson's age, you're taught and told and made aware of this legend called Sidney Poitier.
Right.
So I always knew him, but never really understood his story until I read that book.
Right.
And the reason why it resonated for me so much was because there was so much common ground.
Right.
Because there was so much about his childhood growing up in the Bahamas that seemed familiar to me.
Right.
And because I was able to identify with him in that way,
right,
what he achieved then in my mind became also achievable for me.
Yes.
Perhaps not even the same thing, but certainly on the same level in the same way.
Right.
And so you talk about how you, or how I was able to have the confidence to do what I do. It's because of persons like Sidney Poitier, who not only did it before, but also had the grace and the courage to share their story so that guys like me could read it and hopefully be inspired by it as well.
Right.
So those are my three favorite books. I love anything by Oprah Winfrey, of course. She's my ultimate. I don't think she has a book, What I Know for Sure. It's kind of a daily devotional that I keep on my nightstand.
Yeah.
Who else? I am a really, really, really big fan of Catherine Coulter, who is a mystery novelist. and she writes FBI fiction, FBI thriller fictions and stuff like that.
Right.
So I love her. So yeah, I mean, I have a very diverse taste in books.
Okay.
I haven't read one in a while. I need to get back to it, but but I do love reading. I do love those authors.
All right, for our listening audience, what I'll do, I would have all of those books that that Alice mentioned. I'll have those in the show notes as well. How about a favorite app? Do you have a favorite business app or favorite personal app?
QuickBooks.
Nice.
QuickBooks is my favorite business app because QuickBooks makes my life so much easier.
Wow.
I we've used it for a couple of years. I just got QuickBooks Online and I put it on my phone, so now it's an app. So imagine I could be sitting here with you and creating an invoice, or I could receive a payment, or I could do whatever I want to right here on my phone.
Wow.
And it just makes my life a whole lot easier. Since we closed the office space, a lot of what I do is in situations like this, where I go to families' homes and do consultations. I go to clients' offices and do consultations. And so it's important in those instances to be fully functional as a business in that space. Even though I'm driving, I only have a briefcase.
Right.
I still have to be able to conduct business in a holistic sense.
Right.
And so QuickBooks gives me the opportunity to do that.
That's awesome. So, what about any personal apps you like to use?
Oh, I'm addicted to Facebook and Instagram, of course. I'm just getting into Twitter.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think I'm alive. I don't think I like it though.
Yeah.
Let me look at my phone. That would be easier. I'm a very typical kind of guy.
Right.
Yeah, Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp. I'm not that tight. I'm 42 years old. They dragged me kicking and screaming into the 21st century. They didn't have cell phones when I was a kid.
No, I can definitely agree with that.
So I'm very comfortable with the basic functions of my phone.
Right.
And they're good. I probably don't do as much as I can with it though.
All right. So like for anyone who would actually want to get in contact with you. How would they be able to?
Well, the easiest way is social media. My name, Addis Hyler, on Facebook, Instagram. That's really the easiest way. The Bahamian Icon Awards and Sitter Communications Group both have Facebook pages.
Right.
Both websites are down right now. They're under construction. We're relaunching them in the middle of the year.
Right.
But certainly, you can reach out to me on any social media platform.
All right. Awesome. All right. Awesome, y'all. And I just want to let everybody know, if you haven't heard these words before, know that it's your time to soar.
I believe I can soar.
Thank you for listening to It's Your Time to Soar. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review.